row, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. The last two times that I preached, we preached a message about the love of Christ. And then last time, God's heart for the world. And I wish I had time to just read the entire chapter, but we began in verse 14 where it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." And I want you to look at verse number 20 today. Now then. Not someday, now then. And in light of what he has just said, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you. By us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Before we examine that text, I want you to notice verse number 17, and I hope you have your Bibles open and you're following along here and maybe marking things in your Bible. I know, you know, the new technology is a lot of folks and a lot of preachers today use an iPad in order to look up the Bible and so forth, and that's well and good in some instances, but there is nothing that'll ever take the place of the Word of God in print. Just being able to hold it all in your hand and underline it and mark it. And notice verse 17 where he says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." He's totally different. He's changed. He's something that he hasn't been before. He's a new creature. But notice verse 18. It says here that God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Have you ever thought about yourself being in the ministry? You say, "Oh no, I'm not in the ministry." Well, if you're a child of God, you are called into the ministry of reconciliation, he says here. Those that have been redeemed need to understand that the Bible, what the Bible says regarding our responsibilities of our relationship with God. So he tells us that we have been redeemed, we've been reconciled to God, and that word reconciled is such a wonderful word to bring these two opposing parties together so as to remove the differences and the barriers are gone and the charges are gone and that we are accepted by the Lord. And all of those blessings end up giving us certain responsibilities. We could look at it in a lot of different ways. It's hard to try to describe a Christian in just one word. And the Lord knows that better than anyone. So whenever he speaks about his people and their responsibilities, he talks about us as sons, the sons of God. And being a son, being a child of God, there's certain responsibilities, just like there is in a family. If you're somebody's son or somebody's daughter, there are responsibilities there. It speaks about us being servants. Paul speaks of himself like being a bondservant. That is one that has given himself over to God for life. Even in the Old Testament where they would pierce their ear, they become a bondservant. They gave up all of their rights. They received all of these responsibilities for that position. The Bible speaks about us in a sense as being students, and that certainly requires some responsibility. It speaks about us being teachers, disciples. It talks about us being workers in the vineyard and farmers in the field. It talks about us being soldiers. And in all of those different avenues, we find that there are certain responsibilities. But notice this morning, our text for the message, and I thought today, is that we are ambassadors for Christ. Now that certainly applied to Paul. It certainly applied to those who were working with him. It certainly applied to those to whom he was writing, but that is something that applies to all of us. It includes all of those who have been reconciled to God. You know, you perhaps never thought about it, but as a pastor, you can't help but wonder how people feel and care about how people feel. And there are a lot of times that there are folks that get the feeling that they're not really of any great importance, that there's nothing special about them, that they're just not really anything important about them. And you ask them, where do you go to church? Well, I go down to Lakeway Baptist Church. Well, what do you do? Oh, I'm just a member there. But I don't hold any office there. I don't have a title. You know, I'm a member there, but I don't teach a class. That's for other people to do. And I don't sing in the choir because I sound a lot like Brother Stone, so I stay out of it and try to help them that way. Or maybe say, well, I can't play any of these musical instruments. I look forward to the day we get all of our musicians back in a full-fledged group up here of instrumentals and what have you. God is so blessed us in that area, but there's some of us that we can't play any of those instruments. And it might be someone think, well, you know, I'm not much of anybody because I can't give a lot of money. There might be someone here today thinks that, well, you know, I'm not anything special because I'm a fairly new Christian, or I've never really been educated in the Bible. So there's a lot of things I don't understand in the Bible, and I'm just not well schooled in the Bible like some of these other church members. So it makes you kind of feel maybe like a nobody, or maybe someone's here today. You say, well, I just don't have very many friends. And there are others that would say, well, you know, I can't even attend all of the services. And some folks feel like, you know, it wouldn't even matter if I just dropped out altogether. The bottom line is you are mistaken if you are here today, a child of God, and to think that you are of no value or that you're not important. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a very important office, an ambassador for Christ. You've been reconciled to God, so he says, I'm going to give you the ministry of reconciliation, that is to other people. So you don't have to have a title in the church. You don't have to hold an office in the church. You don't have to be able to give a lot of money. You don't even have to be a Bible scholar in the church. I remember within weeks of after being saved, my concern was that my friends, my family members, that they would be saved. And I tried to be in church every time that I possibly could, and they had a thing that they call visitation. Every Thursday night, every Saturday morning, on visitation. I just barely knew how to be saved. I couldn't quote any Bible verses. I hadn't figured out a lot of things. I didn't know what church is all about. I just knew I was a sinner. Jesus was the Savior, and I was trusting Him. That's about all I knew. I surrendered to preach. That was 2 months later. I didn't know much more. The rescue mission. Somebody called the rescue mission and said, hey, they're needing somebody down there. You want to go? Yeah, I'll go. And you talk about scary. You go down there and preach to a bunch of folks that have all kinds of problems in their life that's in need of help. And you don't know anything about the Bible other than how to be saved. That's about all I knew. When we've been reconciled to God, and if you're a child of God, thank God you have been reconciled to Him. Thank God for that. Now, He says, as a result of that, we are ambassadors. Look at verse 9 and 10. He says, wherefore we labor. In other words, it's not some kind of a game. That word labor is not, it's not like, you know, we talk about working. Labor means to work to the point of exhaustion. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Think about that. We labor whether we may be accepted of him. Now, listen, Paul is speaking there not from the standpoint of someone seeking salvation, but from the standpoint of pleasing the Lord in obedience to the Lord. And he says, going on, he says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So here we see that Paul understood the greatness of his responsibility, and that is exactly what he is trying to reveal to them, and not only to them, but us also. Now, there are four factors that I want you to notice about being in this position, being in this ministry as an ambassador. First of all, is their representation. You know, it's an honor and it's a privilege and a responsibility to represent the one who is who? Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To represent him, and we do that in two ways. First, by our message, that is, by the words that we speak. Every word has to be documented. Now, generally, whenever we think or we hear the word ambassador, we automatically associate it with either politics or government, right? We think about someone being appointed to represent our government in another country. And as you know, the United States has ambassadors in almost every nation on earth. And they go there representing our nation. But we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about being ambassadors for Christ. Our appointment is from God. Our assignment is to the world, to all of those that are lost. And if anything deserves our attention, that's it. When you consider man's dreadful condition without Christ, Brother John was praying and pleading with the Lord, please, if there's someone here today that's not saved, don't you dare assume that you'll get another opportunity. We never know. We just go from day to day. We never know how much longer that we have. And when you think about the condition of the world and the fact that people are separated from God, and if they die, will be separated from God for all of eternity. I mean, it doesn't get any more serious than that. It's like, as you've probably heard preachers say, we either evangelize or we fossilize. In other words, as a church, we either reach others or we end up as dead as a fossil. Now, there's four factors, those that we represent, who represent him, the ambassadors. We do that by our words. If we send an ambassador to whatever nation it is, Russia or China or whatever, that ambassador has to follow the directives by the power that sent him there. In other words, he has no liberty whatsoever to go there and to decide that he's going to make the decision what's best for them or what's best for us, or he's not going to go there and lay down demands. You know, my president, he said to tell you this, but I'm telling you something different. An ambassador doesn't have that right. He's got to follow the directives that he has been given. He can't draft his own message. He's not there to give his opinions, his ideas, or his preferences. And neither are we, and preachers need, of all people, need to remember that. It's not my job to get up here and to tell you what I think about different issues. It's not my job to get up here and to say, well, you know, I prefer this and you better do it. Don't ever believe anything I say unless I can prove it from the Bible. Otherwise, don't believe it. Now, my intentions might be good, but that doesn't mean that I'm right. We, each one, represent Christ as one of his ambassadors when we, as a child of God, take the Word of God, that's our message, and we share it with others. But there's another way in which we represent him, and that's not just by our message, but by our manners, our ways, our works. You've probably heard me say that, as so many preachers have said, you are the only Bible some people will ever read. Our ministry is to model the message as well as to be messengers. And the Bible has so much to say about that. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, John said, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." That is, our walk ought to be like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." You see, our conduct reflects on the one that we represent. And that's why, if you look across the page there in chapter 6 and verse number 3, he says, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." That the ministry be not blamed. It was Paul that told us to be an example of the believer. Why? Simply because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we don't do that as well as we should, do we? One of the most common complaints that you hear from the people that are unchurched out in the world, that you invite them to church, you plead with them and try to convince them they need to be there. And quite often you'll hear some response like this: "I don't go to church. There's just too many hypocrites in the church." And they're right. If there's one hypocrite in the church, that's too many. But you're going to find hypocrites everywhere you go. Our Lord's no hypocrite. There are those here that love the Lord, that are doing their very best to serve the Lord. They're not hypocrites. Why would you let a hypocrite come between you and God? Like somebody said, you know, if you let a hypocrite come between you and God, he's closer to God than you are. We represent Christ, and we ought to do that well by our message, by our manners. But notice this word ambassadors also speaks about our rank. Our rank. We're not just representatives of the Lord. The fact that we are representatives of Christ, that implies that there is a rank. There's an order to it. And you could say that really there's two extremes to that. In our own sight, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "I'm the least of all the apostles." Now, if anybody had anything to brag about, it was Paul. And he says, "I'm the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace was not bestowed upon me. It was not in vain," he says. That grace that was bestowed upon him was not in vain. You know, a good ambassador realizes that he has no worth apart from the kingdom of God that he represents. You send an ambassador over there, and some of them, by the way, when it comes to politics, they pay up front, as it were, to get one of those cushy jobs as being an ambassador to some little country over in the Caribbean or something like that, to where there's not any warfare going on and not any struggles or anything. And they know that ahead of time, and they pull all of their strings and contact all of their connections to get a job like that, thinking themselves to be really something. But the real ambassador that takes his job serious realizes, without the Lord, I wouldn't be anything. And I think every Christian here today, if you're honest about it, would have to realize without him, you're nothing, I'm nothing, we're nothing. But you and I and all of those that have been saved are of great rank, as it were, in the sight of God. He said in John 15, verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me." You know, we so enjoy trying to get the credit for what we do. You know, we do something that's good, something that's noteworthy. We just crave the attention for that. And the Lord said, look, you've not chosen me. But he said, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Having received the ministry of reconciliation, think about that. We have that precious gem of a peace treaty between God and others. They don't even understand that. They don't realize that. They know, just as I did, there's something wrong in my life. There's got to be more to life than this. I was so miserable. I knew I wasn't living right. I knew I was hurting people. But I didn't know what to do about it. And one day, and I've got to say, probably the most least likely of anybody I ever expected me to invite me to church, actually invited me. And I was like, what? You're going to church now? You know? Yeah, I've been going. And he said, will you go with me? I said, well, I guess so. And he used the leverage. He said, they've got a softball team. And he wanted me to play on the softball team because I was playing AAA softball, and so I could play in their church league. And that was what it was all about. That's, you know, I don't know whether he was really concerned about me trusting the Lord and being saved or not, but I said, yeah, I'll go. And got there, and they said, well, you've got to attend 2 weeks before you can actually play. That's in the rules of the church league. I said, well, I don't guess it'll hurt me. Well, it didn't hurt me, but boy, it got my attention. And I began to realize all of a sudden that God was the answer, and I didn't know what to do about it. And that's why you hear me keep repeating Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. If somebody had told me, look, I've got a good deal. If you'll take every penny you've got and give it, the Lord will save you and you'll go to heaven when you die. That would have been a great deal. If they would have said, look, if you will walk 100 miles without taking a sip of water, God will save you and you'll go to heaven when you die. I'll try my best. I'm going to hit the road. He'll not only save you, but he'll change your life. You can quit all of this sinful stuff. A good deal. But I just couldn't get over that part in that while we were yet sinners. Wait a minute, just a few weeks before, I was tending bar at the Lakeshore Inn. Whenever I wasn't working my full-time job, I could tend bar there in the evening whenever the guy wanted to take some time off. And that helped me pay for some drinks. You mean God loves people like that? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And you know people. There are people that you love and people that you care about that need to hear that message. They need to know that there is not just a possibility, there is a promise of salvation and that God can change their life. There is a peace treaty where they can be reconciled to God. Now, I'm saying all that because as an ambassador, as a minister, which every Christian ought to be, nobody is doing anything more important than what you ought to be doing. Nobody. If for some crazy reason I got a call from some other way to get me the message, but if Congress met and they decided we're through with Biden and we're through with Trump and somebody put your name in the pot and we want you to be our president. Yeah, I know that would never happen and should never happen. But I'd be taking a demotion to resign here and to serve as the president or anything else. Someone said, look, if you'll just resign, I've got something that I want you to do, and I'll give you $1 million on the spot and $1 million every 6 months thereafter. I'd be taking a demotion. What I'm trying to tell you, I'm not just talking about me as a preacher. I'm talking about each and every one of us. Nobody anywhere is doing anything more important than what you and I ought to be doing as the ambassadors of Christ. And that's where we get to not just our rank, in other words, not just holding that office, having that responsibility, but being responsible toward that responsibility, doing business. We're not on vacation. God never intended that our life be one big party of fun and games and what have you. The Apostle Paul said later over in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, I am an ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now here's something maybe you never thought about. Now Paul's saying there, I'm an ambassador in bonds. He's in prison. He's in chains. Now, he could have said, well, my ministry's over, right? I mean, you'd kind of feel that way if they arrested me this afternoon for some horrible crime, said you're going to spend the rest of your life down here in the Harris County Jail. And I'd start thinking, boy, my ministry's over. It's gone. Paul said, I am an ambassador. I'm in chains, but I'm still an ambassador. An ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Do you realize that the ambassadors have to live wherever they're sent? They have to leave this country. They're still citizens of this country, but they are required to move there. They have to live among the people whose beliefs are different, whose values are different. That just reminds us of the fact, as Jesus told us clearly, we're in the world, but not of the world. As my mama used to sing, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. That's true of every child of God. We're ambassadors for Christ here in this world. This world has different values than we do. This world is far different than what we ought to be as Christians. We're not of the world. Sometimes we get the feeling like Paul when he said to depart and to be with Christ would be far better. Be far better. I don't know whether you ever feel that way or not, but I sure do. But he said to abide in the flesh is more needful. Oh, we'd all be better off if God just saved us and took us right straight to heaven. We could get out all of the aches and the pains and the troubles and the trials and all of that. But God has a work for us, and the nature of our work here is to secure reconciliation between God and others. God hath reconciled us to himself. How did he do that? By Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Other religions despise us because of that truth. You know, in their mind, we're acting like, well, you know, we're better than anybody else, and that your religion is the only one that's right, and da, 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 and they hate us because that's being too exclusive. Let me tell you, Christianity is exclusive. It all hinges upon what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what the world needs, because the natural man, all of us, by birth, when we come into this world, we are all separated spiritually from God. And Jesus, and he alone, made it possible for us to be reconciled to God. And Listen, we have to answer for what we do with the responsibility that's placed upon our shoulders. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's speaking about Christians there. That's the great white throne judgment is for the unbelievers. The judgment seat of Christ is for the Christian. It's not to determine whether we're saved or not. It's to determine the degree of our rewards. And we must all, so if you're a child of God, you're not going to get out of this. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or whether it be bad, whether we waste our life away, whether we refuse to assume our responsibility, we're going to answer to God for that. The good thing about that is the reward. That's what he tells us in verse 20. We have to appear, what, that we can receive the good for the good that we've done. You know, not only is our reward something that's promised in the future, and I'll get to that in a minute, our reward is also a present reward. As the nation sends their ambassador to another nation, remember this, our nation is required to take care of that ambassador wherever. He may be over there in the dust bowls of Afghanistan, or he may be over there in the jungles of Africa. Wherever he is, doesn't make any difference. Whenever we appoint him, our authorities appoint him and send him or her there, it's our responsibility to supply their needs while they're there. And that's why I say there is a reward for you and I as a child of God doing the will of God by being ministers of reconciliation. As we do our best to reach others for Christ, God is simply saying, I'll take care of you. You're in the world. You're in a foreign country. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to assume responsibility for you. That's what he meant when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's why Paul said to the Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Aren't you glad? There is a reward here and now for the things that we do by way of serving the Lord. But there's a promised reward that we need to keep in mind. And Paul said, I'm an ambassador in bonds. And it seems like near the end of his life, here he is, having lost his freedom, about to lose his life. And it seems like it's all in vain. But he knew better than that, didn't he? He knew that there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him. And he speaks about the different crowns that we can win and that we do win. He never allowed those prison chains to rob him from doing his responsibility so that he could receive the reward. And it was Paul that wrote, your labor in the Lord is what? It's not in vain. Aren't you glad that God has a plan for each and every one of us? No, he didn't call everyone here to be a pastor. He didn't call everyone here to be a missionary. He didn't call everyone to be a teacher in the sense of holding an office in the church. There's some that are gifted in that area that God has just enabled them to fulfill that ministry of teaching, and thank God for them. But all of us as Christians ought to be teachers. Every one of us ought to be teaching someone. He said, I've given to you the ministry of reconciliation. You know, the great thing about it, as difficult as life can be here, when we send an ambassador over to another country, we call him home just before the invasion. Does that ring any bells? We know, all right, war is inevitable. We can't get out of this. We're going to declare war. We're going to drop bombs. People are going to die. Get our ambassador out of there. You know, God has a plan like that for His people. One of these days, the Lord's going to come in the clouds of the air. One of these days, He's going to catch up His people. We call it the rapture, a catching up, a taking away. And then begins that horrible, terrible 7 years of tribulation. Jesus describes it as unlike anything in the history of the world. The worst time that we can't even wrap our mind around how bad it is. And we're living in the day and the age that we can see those shadows of those events falling across our path. We see it all beginning to line up and take place. And I'm so glad that we have the assurance that before that happens, He's going to take His people out of this world. You know, being called home is wonderful to every Christian. But I want us to close this morning by thinking about how awful that's going to be for those who are not. And I want you to think about the great responsibility that we have. Look, we've got a limited amount of time to work with before others are swept away out into eternity without Christ. We just don't know. The Lord could come today. We could die today. We don't know how much time we've got. And it's so easy for us to put off things that are of such great importance, and it shouldn't be. I want you to leave here thinking about who you are. If you're a Christian, you can rightly, justly say, I am an ambassador. Not of the United States. I'm not an ambassador to represent some multi-billion-dollar company. I'm an ambassador for Christ. And I want you to think about that when you're with your family. We all, no doubt, have family members somewhere. There are people I pray for every day that are family members, and I call their name every day because by their own admission, they've never received Christ as their Savior. I don't know whether they believe me when I tell them I'm praying for them or not, but every day I make it a point to pray for certain people. And we need to take advantage of those opportunities whenever you're with your family and you know someone that's not saved, to speak to them about Christ. Remember, you are an ambassador for Christ when you're with your family or when you're fellowshipping with your friends. Maybe you just stopped by, you know, out here to have a cup of coffee together, eat a meal together, whatever. You're with someone that you really like. You're good friends, even though that person's never been saved. That's all the more reason for you to talk to them about their soul. It might be a co-worker. Whenever you go to work in the morning, you need to realize that you're going there and you should go there as an ambassador for Christ, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, representing Christianity. You young people, when you go to school and you're there with your classmates, you are an ambassador. Whenever you wave at your neighbors going down the road, you see them coming or you see them going, you wave at them. It ought to make us realize that we are ambassadors to those that we come into contact with. Even during the normal course of events in our life, we need to remember that we are ambassadors for Christ even when we get discouraged and even when we feel like just giving up. I don't know, maybe you think, well, preacher, I don't know what that was like. I've never been that discouraged. Well, if you live long enough, you will be. I can remember whenever I was a young preacher, and I remember hearing preachers say, I've never even thought about quitting. I've I never got tired in the ministry or disappointed. Well, some of them end up dropping out, but all of them end up discovering sooner or later. Sooner or later, we all hit a place that we can call rock bottom, to where do I go from here, Lord? And it can be different things that get us there. Sometimes it might be our disappointment with other people. Sometimes it might be disappointment with our own faults and failures. I don't even want to try anymore. There have been some times in my life I felt like that I so misrepresented the Christian spirit that I don't have any business even getting up preaching next week, you know. You say, well, you're young back then. No, I'm talking about this last week. And it's not that you're angry at someone. It's not that you hate someone. It's not. Sometimes the deepest pit of depression that you'll get in, if you're a child of God, is your recognition of the fact that you and your attitude and your actions have failed God. I'm telling you what, there's nothing like a guilty conscience of knowing that I misrepresented Christ when I did that. When I snapped back, when I cut loose, when I did this, well, maybe you've never been there. But I'm telling you, in times like that, in times of grief, when you've lost a loved one and you feel like I don't know where to go, the dearest person on earth to me just passed away, or your children have disappointed you in some way that was devastating. And if they haven't, mark it down. Sooner or later they probably will. I hope not, but chances are they will. There'll be those times that we're tempted to forget that our responsibility is far more important than anything else we do in life. Heard one preacher many years ago saying, if you can quit preaching, you ought to. Now, I know what he meant by that, and he explained, if you can quit preaching, you ought to, because God never called you. And as a preacher, I know what he meant, and it's in a sense true. Because I'm telling you, if God actually called you into the ministry, you're not going to, you can run all you want, but you're not going to get away from it. God will follow you at home. He'll show up when you least expect. He's not going to let go of you. But that's not true just of preachers. That's true of every child of God when we think about the greatness of our responsibility to the Lord. And that's why I keep saying no Christian can sin successfully. We can't do it. And I want you to leave here today saying, I never really thought about being in the ministry till now. But I'm going to leave here today realizing that I'm in the ministry. Wherever you go, it might be that you only have an opportunity to hand someone a track, a gospel track. It might be that there's the door open for a conversation. And all of those, it might be simply an invitation to church. That's the way it started with me. Probably the way it started with a lot of you. How many of you this morning can say that you've been saved, but it was after someone invited you to church, or mom and dad took you to church, someone invited you to church, you went, and then maybe a year later, months later, you know, we wouldn't have much of a congregation here today if it wasn't for these folks. Somebody said, would you go to church with me? Would you go to church with me? You know, we can invite them to church, or we can even say, look, I'll even come pick you up. Or we could say, if you go to church with me, I'll take you out the place of your choice for lunch. If you want barbecue, Mexican, whatever you want, I'll pay for it. I'd just like for you to come to our church and meet our people. He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And if you're here today and you've never, ever come to know Christ as your Savior, understand that there is this giant gap between you and God. And that's not to say that God doesn't love you. He does. And God has done everything possible in order to close that gap and to bring you to Him. And as the Bible says, to make you acceptable in the sight of God. You say, oh, preacher, if you just knew what I've done, if you knew who I am deep down, you'd never even think about me becoming a Christian. Let me tell you, you can't be bad enough for God not to love. God loves the vilest of sinners. It makes no difference who you are or what you've done or where you're at. God gave His very best, His own Son. God wrapped Himself. Remember, God is spirit. And God wrapped Himself in a robe of flesh and came down here to this sin-cursed earth, walked the dusty trails of Galilee, allowed Himself to be beaten to a bloody pulp and nailed to a wooden cross, where He died to save people just like you, just like me. And He'll save you today if you'll trust Him. And I pray that you will. Brother David's going to come in, our musicians, and we're going to have what we call an invitation. And maybe you're here today and you're already saved, but God's been dealing with you about this ministry thing. And you'd never really thought about being in the ministry. And maybe you just want to come and you don't have to say a word to me. Just say, Lord, I haven't taken my responsibility as serious as I should, and I'm going to start today. I want to make this commitment before you today that I'm going out that door representing you as your ambassador to those that I come in contact with. You know, we expect preachers to what? Surrender to preach. You hear that phrase? What would you think of a preacher that, so-called preacher, that said, well, I tell you, I'm not going to surrender to preach. You know, I know that's what God wants, but it's not going to happen to me. You wouldn't think much of someone like that. What would you think of a parent that says, yeah, that's my kid, but I don't want the little brat, somebody else take him. He can be their responsibility. I don't know. The Bible talks about us grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, that's a hurt word, grieve is. You grieve people, you hurt. God loves us, and it grieves Him when we refuse Him. And to think about what He did for us, now I understand why it says that He is grieved when we refuse to assume that responsibility that He's laid upon us. The responsibility is not something we do to get to heaven. It's something that we do with joy in our heart because we're going to heaven and we want everybody else to go with us. Let's all stand together, please, as we have our invitation this morning. Maybe this morning you just want to come and spend some time in prayer. That might be someone that you care deeply about, a friend, a loved one, family member. You've been trying to get through to them for maybe for years, and they're still lost. And you just want to have a season of prayer for them. Father, use your word today to remind us of how blessed we are. My mind can't even imagine, God, you loving me so much that you did what you've done. You gave your Son for a sinner like me. And I want to thank you, Lord, for providing salvation for each and every one who will receive it. And I pray today for those who haven't yet. May your Holy Spirit do what no man can do. That is, move up and down the aisles of this church and into the hearts of those individuals and tug at their heartstrings and assure them that there is help, there is hope, that they can be saved even today. For we beg it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now,